Padres will be back in action tomorrow. Let's say hello to Mark Sweeney from Bally Sports San Diego, who joins us on an off day, which is always greatly appreciated. Mr. Sweeney, thank you very much for the time, as always.
Dee Smith, how are you, buddy?
I'm good. You watching any Olympics since we've had requests to switch gears, watching some of the Olympics when you can?
Yeah, sporadically I am watching some Olympics. My two stepdaughters are in beach volleyball, so I always love watching that. And April Ross is still involved, so I'm looking forward to watching that.
Okay. See, I like that, too. I was going to ask, because I know you had some volleyball players there in the tribe. I wondered if you all would sit around and watch that in a different capacity than the rest of us would watch it.
I actually watch it myself. I don't watch it with them because I feel like I'm inferior to what they know compared to what I know. But, man, I love the sport. I think it's fantastic and proud of what they're doing as well.
Does Olympic baseball do anything for you? It's sort of like here one year, here one cycle, not here the next cycle. Olympic baseball do anything for you? Keep tabs on that?
Yeah, anything that has a USA on your chest, I think it's great. Todd Frazier has always been a favorite of mine. I love the Todd Father nickname. So, yeah, I'm always watching that.
All right, good. I like that. Mark Sweeney joining us on Extra 1360. Mark, I don't do this to spin. I mean, I don't work for the team or anything like that. But I do want to talk about the players who were being brought in here. I realize that this has been completely overshadowed by what wasn't brought in to San Diego, and we'll have plenty of time for that. But Daniel Hudson, yeah. Adam Frazier, Jake Marisnyk, what did the Padres get? Now, how much better would you say they are compared to the Padres before the deadline? Not the Dodgers, not the Giants. That's obviously a huge part of the story, but I mean, how much better do you think the Padres are adding the players that they added in?
Yeah, I think the three additions are excellent. I don't just say that because, Darren, I mean, sometimes you add somebody and you wonder what they're going to do. I think all of these roles are basically identified, so the three guys that they got. We haven't seen the best out of Adam Frazier yet, and I think sometimes that takes time to get acclimated to your surroundings and get set. You know, he's played left field a couple times. He's played second base a couple times. I think that's going to have its benefits long term, and obviously has control next year too. I like the Daniel Hudson move. The reason why, you have to bring in a guy that's going to miss bats, and I mean that because he's been there before. He's an added commodity in a bullpen that needs arms to be able to protect certain guys that have been overused at times. But I think Daniel Hudson, if you look at his splits, he's better against left-handed hitters. So you don't fear putting him in a situation where it's the eighth inning, seventh inning, if it's a kind of a closing situation in that type of game. But also, if you don't have Melanson available, he has ninth inning ability too. So I like that. And I think that's a real good thing. Jake Marisnyk is a guy that's an energy guy, and if you think of energy and what the Padres need, without Fernando Tatis Jr., I know their record is good when he's not playing, and he's been on the shelf, but that doesn't indicate the type of energy that I think is lost, and everyone knows what Fernando brings. Jake Marisnyk goes out there and gives you a solid day of work no matter what situation he is in. I've always admired how he has gone about being that role guy that has the ability to go out and defend first, give you some hits here and there. But, man, the energy and the passion that he puts out in the game, I like that type of move. So the three moves to me are something that complements this roster.
Mark Sweeney joining us on Extra 1360. Mark, by the way, also the co-host of a podcast called Major League Beginnings, which you should all find and check out at your convenience. You talked a little bit about Adam Frazier and you know, having to get used to a different team, a different league, different teammates, different club. Everything's different. And also you're asking him to play a different position. And, you know, to me, Sweeney, that's one area where I get it. You know, like, you got to find at bats for all these dudes. You got a pretty good second baseman. And now the situation's a little bit different on the other side of the infield when it comes to shortstop. And you can mix and match, and, you know, Jace Tingler has his work cut out for him. But to me, in addition to everything else that you have to get used to, you know, how difficult is it also then, like, you know, you got to bring an outfield glove here, and you got to go, you know, run around an outfield that you've never done before.
Yeah, there's the fear of moving guys around too much, that there's too much on their plate. I think it really comes down to when you do that, Darren, you know the type of person you're going out and acquiring. Adam Frazier to me, and we've heard sound bites, we've heard interviews of Mark Grant talking to him. Also, I've checked around with people that have been around him in that same organization. They say, you know what, this guy just wants to play the game. I like that because I always thought that the game of baseball was going to be encouraging players like that. And it was frowned upon years back, Darren. There were a lot of people that were like, no, he's a shortstop. He's staying at shortstop. Even though he could play around the diamond, that wasn't really accentuated until the Los Angeles Dodgers have done it. Other teams have done it. I think this roster is very it's set up basically to if there is injuries, you can move around. That being said, it's mentally challenging to do that. I'm not making excuses for these guys because they have to step up and play natural positions like Jake Cronenworth has done. Even though he doesn't look natural at first base, a natural position and shift is the shortstop because he's done that for so many reps. He looks very good at second base. But that doesn't mean that he is going to be an everyday guy and there aren't challenges defensively, that you're put in. So, I think this team definitely has to step up in an injury where we have Fernando Tatis Jr. Who knows how long he's going to be out, but he's going to be out for at least 10 days. This is a time when everyone has to step up, and they have to step up not only defensively but offensively as well.
Mark Sweeney joining us on Extra 1360. Can you put yourself in the position, Mark, of being a player, being a Padre player in 2021? And we all know everybody's connected now, social media. It's there. It's a thing. MLB Network, around-the-clock coverage. Yep. Everybody's paying attention to the trade deadline. I mean, imagine you, a player, you know, hearing some of these rumors, hearing some of these reports, finding out what is or isn't true. Then here comes the trade deadline. It comes and goes, and some of them are, some of them aren't true, et cetera. I mean, what would your best guess be as to what the roller coaster ride was like inside of that clubhouse, especially given some of the names that we heard that turned out to not only not be part of the Padres' future, but now guys that you might have to face here between now and the end of the regular season?
Yeah, I felt bad for situations of these guys. And you know what? It's the blessing and the curse, right? I mean, I think a lot of people get on Twitter, get on social media, and they find out information. But also, some of the stuff that you find out, it really isn't fun to hear. It's got to be detrimental to just you being a person and showing up to your job and playing that way. I'm just fortunate that back in the day when I played, it really wasn't there. You heard rumblings, but you didn't know how much truth there was. Now you're hearing a lot of information. You're hearing a lot of false information. But I look at, obviously, Eric Hosmer's situation. This is a guy that signed here and did a long-term deal not to hear rumors about how they're going to dump his salary. They're going to send him somewhere else. And you don't know if that's true. That being said, I think those conversations have to be done behind closed doors where you realize, hey, Eric, this is what we're doing. We're doing our due diligence. And listen, when it comes down to it, you're going to be on this roster and we need you and we need you moving forward. To me, the personalization or the lack thereof bothers me because guys, these are real human beings. Whether they're making millions and millions of dollars, it doesn't matter. You show up and you're exposed to a lot of criticism every single night. So I always feel bad for the guys like that. But I also look at it too, Darren. These guys all signed up for it. Mm-hmm. It's about going out there and executing what you do best. And you have a specialty and you're getting paid for it. Go out there, enjoy it first and foremost, and go out there and try to win a championship. Because when you keep it that way, it becomes fun and it becomes, you know what? It doesn't really matter what I make, but it really matters on what I'm trying to do with the guys to my right and my left in my locker room. And that is the beauty of this game of baseball. We always focus on the championship teams, but your journey starts so way before this trade deadline. And you're looking for something that's exciting that you can experience with your teammates that you've been grinding with all year long.
Mark Sweeney joining us on Extra 1360. I watched A.J. Preller's press conference on Friday afternoon via Zoom, and he said something about, well, you know, after this press conference, I'm going to go into the clubhouse and I'm going to address the team. And yeah, respecting you know, that that's that that is sacred space for players, for coaches, etc. I just wonder, you as a player, again, relying on your expertise as a player, like, what would you want your general manager to say if he's coming in that clubhouse? Again, given the roller coaster, given some of the rumors, given guys who we thought maybe were going to be shipped out of town, maybe guys who we thought were going to be brought in here. But, like, is there anything you as a player, like, what would you want your general manager to say if he's coming in to address the clubhouse after the trade deadline came and went?
That's when you become, this is a professional and this is a, you're a job, you're doing a job. Darren, honestly, that these guys realize when that deadline passes, you look to your right and your left. And these are the guys that if they're not in the room, they're coming from AAA or AA to maybe help you occasionally. But these are the guys that you're going out and fighting with. You see what's in front of you. You're in third place. It's about going out there and executing, getting into the playoffs and making a run and being better, being a better version of yourself. So hearing from my general manager, which we typically never heard after a trading deadline, we never heard anything back in the day, whether it was Kevin Towers, whether it was Brian Sabian from the Giants, whether it was Ned Colletti in in Los Angeles. They just said, listen, your job is to go out there and play. So I think everyone in that room knows that, but I think this day and age with social media, there's opportunities to go out there and say, guys, listen, I created this team and we believe in you. Go out there and win a championship. And it's not a rally cry. It's just reality. It becomes go do your job. And, we are so talented. Go show how talented and dangerous we can be out there on the field.
All right. Now that leads me in. I want to play this soundbite just for everybody to hear, Swing, because like I said, this is one that I think is open to interpretation. But this was A.J. Preller speaking on Friday about what was going through his mind to add a starting pitcher, to not add a starting pitcher. This is what A.J. Preller said if you missed it on Friday afternoon.
We're not going to get where we want to get to unless the guys we have right now in our rotation pitch like they're capable of. So, you know, we could have added a starting pitcher, and you know, if the other four guys or five guys don't pitch like they're capable of, and honestly, it's not going to matter.
So, you know, I think that could be taken a couple of different ways. I mean, that could be taken as, hey, I believe in you. Like, go out there and you could be Blake Snell. And this is obviously before we knew anything about Paddock. But that said, I think you could interpret it that way, or you could take it as, you know, we're just underperforming, so what's the point? How did you receive that particular line from A.J. Preller?
I looked at it like I tried to look at it from even a broadcaster standpoint. Everyone knows, and I've always put this in perspective, Darren, because the great shortstop Ozzie Smith told me this, and I'll never forget it, and it resonates with me. He said to me, he goes, I've never seen someone try to fail. And basically he was like, listen, you got to go out there and do your job. If you're a fifth starter, like a Ryan Weathers, you go out there and you give your team an opportunity to win that night. If you're a number one guy and the team's losing and you're Yu Darvish, you're expected to go out there and win that game because that's what number one guys do. The frontline guys. I think Blake Snell was brought in here to win games, and I don't think that's a stretch. I think that's what A.J. Preller was trying to tell everybody. Go out there and do your job. Go out there, and if we do what we're expected to do, this is a dangerous club that no one in baseball wants to play. So I've always looked at it that way. But, man, if you look at the numbers in July, the starting pitching has to be better because that's how you win consistently. And every manager in the game is going to say that. Every manager is going to feel it. That's how you win games consistently is with your starting pitching.
Yeah, 11-14. And as you point out, I mean, this was just a month to forget. Do months on the calendar matter to players? I know you guys will use anything and everything to motivate yourselves. I realize it's sort of arbitrary to say like, hey, it's that was July and it's August now. Can you talk yourself into that if you're inside of a clubhouse? If you're a player, can you say, well, that was a crappy July. Let's put that in the rearview mirror. Now August is ahead of us. Does that work?
I think it's fascinating, Darren, that most players, and I just go back to what resonates with me. You know the times when you're in place and you realize you're in a position to not only win the division, but to go out there and play inspired baseball down the stretch. And that's a luxury because there's some teams that are just playing the string out, and that's not fun. I've been on those teams as well. So the importance of where we are in the season is great, but I think fans need to understand most players just play for the next game. Like the Padres are looking to beat Sean Manaea tomorrow night because they lost to him in San Diego the other day. And that's what they realize. They compartmentalize so many scenarios moving forward that it fascinates me that guys don't worry about, hey, we lost to the Marlins 2 out of 4 games in Miami, and here they come next week. They don't care about what happened in the 4 games in Miami. They care about what's in front of them, what's moving forward. And if you have a mindset of just winning series, things tend to take care of themselves, and you have to go on one of those hot stretches because you're in third place. So I think they expect that. I think they also expect the two teams in front of them to play inspired baseball as well.
Everybody holding their breath on Fernando Tatis Jr. Does this at all feel different than the other times that Tatis' shoulder has barked on him? I thought some of the words were chosen by Jace Tingler sounded a little bit different. Some of the reporting feels a little bit different. I know it's really easy to sit here on radio and say what he should or shouldn't do. You know, it's not my body, but you know, I don't know how much do we think we're all holding our breath on this one?
I think we all are. And Darren, I got to be honest with you. I was holding my breath at the beginning of the year. Mm. And when he heard it on that swing at Petco, I actually said to Mike, Mike Pomeranz, I said, I think he's done. Because the reason why I was surprised, well, we have 31 home runs and arguably the MVP of the National League after what I thought. So there's always hope in what a 22-year-old can do and how he can recover. I just saw that injury the other night, and it looked like not only did it pop out, but also when he was holding it, coming over his body and hitting it again and jarring it. It just looked different than the swing, obviously. So I am crossing my fingers just like everybody else because we know that this team is so much better with Fernando Tatis Jr. on it. And that being said, though, Darren, I always say this, and you know me, it's about the next guy stepping up. And they have to do that now. They can't wait till the news if Fernando Tatis Jr. is coming or going. That can't be the case. This is a team that needs to win now. They need to win tomorrow night. They need to try to win the next day with the day game. That's the important factor, and whoever's in that lineup has to figure out how to win.
Mark, appreciate it. Enjoy your Olympics coverage as always. Appreciate that. Thank you for doing this on an off day. Thanks. We'll see you tomorrow.
Anytime, Darren. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it. Mark Sweeney, everybody, Bally Sports San Diego. And again, do check out the podcast, Major League Beginnings. You know, I've seen a lot of this, and I don't want to say that this is like an actual thing that's happening internally with the organization, because I have no reason to believe that this is true. I know it just becomes easy to get on the shows like this and say, well, if he needs it, then he should have it now because it's 4 to 6 months. And then that gets him ready for the 2022 season. It's like, no, no. I don't think we're there yet. I'm not there. Are you there? Is anybody there on this show? I'm just not there yet. I think that that's crazy talk because you've invested so much into this season. And, you know, he wants to go out and he wants to play. And this is you know, the beginning of, you know, his time in San Diego with an extension. And he's been an all-star and he's an MVP candidate. And the team still is in line to go to the postseason. And if he could help do that, then I don't see it that way. I just don't. They've invested so much into this at this point just to kind of go, eh, whatever. General manager didn't make a trade at the trade deadline. His shoulder popped out. Let's just call it a season. No. No. That's not what we're doing.
The only thing, and I can't remember if this is the first time, the very first presser after this happened, where that, like, I think the question was asked, can he make it worse? Can he worsen the severity of the injury, of the damage, by continuing to play? And apparently the answer was no. Now, if this injury is worse, then yes. And I agree with Mark. Like, at that time, that very first injury, I remember all of us thinking, oh man, it's just a matter of time. And he has been so brilliant a player that a lot of times we're watching baseball and we're forgetting what he's playing with until the next time he goes down. And then we have this conversation again, but it's remarkable how freaking good he's been that you expect him to come back from this. Maybe at some point, you know, he's going to hit a wall and maybe they will have to do something about it. Maybe this is the time. But I remember from the, like Mark, first time it happened, I thought he was done. Done for the year. And then we saw what happened. I don't know.
He doesn't just injure it on swings. It's everything.
It's everything. It's just
defense, sliding into bases, mm-hmm. swinging.
And he'll come back and yeah. he'll be fine until the next time.
Right, exactly. Yeah. It's a borrowed time. And I think that a lot of us were like, wow, he's going to make it through. It's August and he's made it through and get to September.
But remember, if there's a stretch to miss, like if you're looking at just purely schedule-wise, this would be a stretch. Now, they have not played well against teams under 500.
I don't know about that.
But you'd hope he's at least maybe back just for September, because September's brutal.
But again, a year ago, you know who was dealing with the same thing was Cody Bellinger.
Yeah.
Now, that's a two-way street as well.
And they only played 60 games.
Only played 60. Remember, that popped out in the NLCS on a high five. Not even on an effort play sliding in the home plate or swinging the baseball bat or fielding. On a high five, that popped out. Had to be popped back in. Part of that also would be like, well, look at Cody Bellinger's season. Like, think I'm looking forward to that kind of surgery? So, you know, there's a whole bunch more that goes into it. It's not as simple as that. But
does anyone remember the first time we had this conversation, what they said was the initial recovery time?
On surgery?
Yeah.
I thought it was 4 to 6 months.
Okay.
Yeah, 4 to 6.
Which, you know, I don't think anybody looks forward to, just because it's convenient that it brings you back, let's say, in like February. It's a lot to wrap your mind around.
And the thing that gets me is you still have three other All-Stars in that lineup. I get it. Take time. But man, when you're playing the Rockies again, these are the teams you're supposed to beat up on, especially when you're at home, with Tatis or without Tatis.
Okay. So you're saying have the surgery?
No, I'm not saying anything.
Master craftsman at putting words in people's mouths. All right. Well-